turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and while you're turning there, I'm going to catch you up with our series. Maybe this is the first time that you've been with us, or you've missed a week or two, but we want to bring you on the idea of our REACH movement. The first letter that we talked about illustrated, the R illustrated the word refresh, and how we are to refresh ourselves in the Lord through Bible study and prayer and through fellowship with others. We're to refresh ourselves in who God is and have rest, but also continue in the work at the same time. We also talked about refreshing our campus and doing that with the sole purpose of being able to use this campus to reach the community of Bakersfield and surrounding areas as we preach the gospel. And then we looked at the letter E, and the letter E was used to illustrate the word evangelize and the importance of us taking the gospel of Christ, the same gospel that changed you and me, and in turn sharing God's story and our story and how that came together and sharing that with those in our community and to the ends of the world. And saying, listen, we're going to follow the Great Commission. We're going to follow the Great Commandment. We're going to go into all the world. We're going to make disciples. We're going to share our faith. We're going to love God with everything we have. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we are going to show Christ's love by sharing his story with evangelism. And last week we talked about the letter A, which was used to illustrate assimilate. Assimilate. And we talked about the importance that once we've gone and evangelized, and once we've reached people with the gospel and they have received Christ as Savior, that it's then up to us as the church to welcome them in and to bring them with us and to begin to disciple them to become disciple makers. And then God also does something. Not only do we go out and win people for Jesus, but God brings people to our campus without us ever having to do anything. Isn't that amazing? God brings people to our campus without anybody ever saying a word to them. And that's the power of God right there. And when those people come and they enter into our campus and they become vulnerable and say, listen, this is who I am. I'm looking for a place to worship Christ. Or maybe I'm seeking out who this God is. Then we are to assimilate them into our body. We are to say, listen, we're going to walk life with you. We're either going to introduce you to Christ or we're going to disciple you in Christ. And then what in turn, they become assimilated, they get involved, they get active, and then they go and they reach somebody, they evangelize, they refresh, and then they are able to help be a part of the assimilation here in the body of Christ at Grace. And so it's so exciting that this morning we get to bring to you the letter C of this REACH movement. And that letter C is community, community. And the C illustrates that we are to reach into our community with the sole purpose of showing the love of Christ and sharing the gospel of Jesus. So this morning we're going to look at that, reaching into the community. Now, a lot of words that you hear within the church or in the church culture, there's this word called outreach. Has anybody heard that word before? Outreach. We're going to do an outreach this week. We're going to outreach to the community. Well, that's grand, and we've used that term many times here, and we have a lot of outreaches that we do. But I really think if we changed our mindset to understand that we're not outreaching, we're reaching into. We are getting the chance to go into a place that sees Grace Baptist Church as a place that glorifies God. And we get to go in and we get to just do as Jesus did and go spend time with the community, talk about the Father, and say, listen, we want you to know Christ. So let's expound upon that this morning. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, that your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and as much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is a great passage concerning the example the church should be in reaching into their community and beyond with the love and grace of Jesus. The first thing that we see in this passage about the church at Thessalonica is this. That the church was praised by Paul. The church was praised by Paul and the writers of this. They were praised for the work of their faith. The work of their faith. Now, this work is not to be confused with a saving work. We understand that the Bible never speaks of any work that is powerful enough or strong enough or right enough to bring salvation to our souls. We understand there is no such thing as works salvation. But instead, the Bible does tell us that we were truly saved, that we will desire to work for the Lord according to the works He created for us. So the Bible tells us not only will we desire to work for our Lord, but in that work there will be fruit produced. Ephesians 2, 8, and 10, we use this verse throughout this entire series, and we'll continue to use it as we march forward. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works. It is the gift of God. And here's why, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Philippians 1:11 says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to who? To God. So we understand that there is a work we're called to do once we're saved, and that it is to produce fruit not only within ourselves, but as we go out and we evangelize and we assimilate and we reach into the community. Paul praised the church because their work for the Lord was faithful, and they were producing spiritual fruit. Others were being saved and added into the church, and the Christian life was being lived out through service and sharing. And Paul wanted to thank and he wanted to praise the church for being faithful to the work of the Lord they had called them to do. You know, encouragement's a great thing. Would you agree with that? Every once in a while, it's nice to have somebody say, man, great job. Whether that be in your line of work, whether that be in your parenting, whether that be in your service to the Lord. And our action and our reaction to that should be this. Man, you know what? Thank you for your encouragement. And you know what? I pray that you see that it's for the Lord. I'm striving to serve Him, to love Him, to worship Him in all areas of my life. Man, sometimes that encouragement is what keeps us going forward, right? For sure. And God knows that. And He uses Paul to encourage this church here in Thessalonica. But not only did He want to praise them for their work, but He also wanted to praise them for their labor of love. Not only did He want to praise them with the work, but the labor of love. And when I hear the word work, let me tell you, I do not think anything of it. I actually love the work I do. I am blessed to have the opportunity to be able to provide for my family through working in full-time ministry. But I can tell you this, in my heart of hearts down deep, if the church had to come and say, listen, we can't keep you on full-time. I want to tell you, my heart is to work for the Lord. And whatever way that looks like, and I know that's many of your hearts today. You go to the workplace, you go work a 40, 50, 60 hour week job, and you are there not only doing the work that you've been asked to do by your employer, but you're doing the work that you do that you're called to do by God. And that's be an example, be a light, and share His faith. You know, when I hear the word work, it kind of brings joy to me because that's what we get to do and it's something that I love. But when I hear the word labor, that looks a little different to me. Let me give you an example. I enjoy work, but labor, not so much. As a matter of fact, you asked me to come and do work here or do work around my house. I'm okay with that until it involves a lot of labor. I'm just going to be honest with you. especially physical labor. So let's take an example. I really do love to mow the grass. I find joy in mowing grass or weeds or whatever's there. I enjoy mowing. I even enjoy edging, getting a good edge on that lawn. Man, that just makes you feel proud. I love that part. But what I don't love is all the labor that takes to get the yard to the place where it can even be mowed, such as, digging the trenches to put the sprinkler system in. That's too much work. I don't want to do that. Taking now and recovering those sprinklers and then putting down maybe new sod. That sounds no fun to me. Maybe it's putting down the right nutrients and the right seeding and all that, and then putting all that tender care and making sure that lawn is green. Now, let me tell you, when a lawn is green, I love to mow it and edge it. But I don't, man, if I have to put work into it to get it green, it's going to be mowing and edging brown stuff, and I'm okay with that. But it kind of, when you think about work and what it takes to maintain a yard, but then what it takes to actually get the yard to what it needs to do, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a labor. We can move that right over into the church. You see, there are many of us who can relate to this well as a believer. For many, the work of the Lord is not a big deal. Of course, we'll study, we'll pray, we'll go to church, we'll even volunteer to serve when it might be convenient. But labor for the Lord? Hold on a second. God, you want me to share the gospel? You want me to serve others out there at the church? You want me to get out of my comfort zone? You expect me to sacrifice in areas of my life? Wait a second, God. I don't mind serving you in the works you've already created for me before time began, but this extra labor of inviting or including and investing in others, that's a little too much. Can I tell you, unfortunately, that's the mentality of the majority of the American church today. We'll do the work, but man, we are not going to put in the labor. When the Bible speaks of this idea of laboring for Christ, he says, the harvest is plenteous, but what? The laborers are few. Oh, there's many in churches all across the country this morning that are serving Christ and worshiping, and many of their hearts are right, as our hearts are right this morning, in worshiping our God, our Savior. But there's more to this Christian service, not our salvation, but this Christian service of just doing work. We are to labor for the Lord, and we are to labor, as Paul says right here, I want to encourage you for your labor of love. Man, that excites me this morning. That tells me that Paul saw the church at Thessalonica thrive in this area, and that much fruit was being produced. They were reminded how gracious the Lord is and how he saved them. And they desired to get that message across in any way possible. They ministered to the needs of the community. But in meeting those needs, they shared the most important hope to change any one of us could benefit from. And that's salvation in and through Christ. You see, Paul also praised the church for their patience of hope. This church endured tough persecution and rejection. However, they did not quit. They did not stumble. They endured. They knew the promise of the Lord. They understood the power of the Holy Spirit. They trusted the Lord would move upon others as he had moved upon them. And when we as believers truly believe in who we have placed our faith and our trust in, we can have confidence to endure because we truly have experienced the hope that is there not only for us, but for all. You know, this morning we were looking at this passage and the church was praised by Paul, but that church at Thessalonica, you know what they did? They set precedent for us. They gave us an example. As Paul praised them, he said, listen, you're setting precedent for all who would come after you. And their example is for you and I today, and it's very important. They provide for us the blueprint of a healthy church who's willing to reach into the community to show and share the love of Christ. And Paul tells us how this worked. He tells us that they received the word in much affliction. So the church suffered persecution at the hands of their own countrymen who were opposed to the spread of the gospel. Do we have folks that are opposed to us spreading the gospel in this culture today? Yes or no? Absolutely. That doesn't give us a reason not to do it. As a matter of fact, this church, they thrived in this area. This is not the only kind of suffering the believers experienced. They also suffered from alienation. And you know what? Many of us have had to feel this same idea of being alienated from those we love due to our conversion to Christ. You know, conversion to Christianity entailed a significant change in a person's social life. You know what? Sometimes as believers, what we do is we make that defining moment to say, I'm going to worship Christ. I'm going to receive Him as Savior. It begins to divide our family. It begins us to alienate us from some of our friends who would rather choose to live in and of the world. But you know, their adoption into the Christian family no doubt served to alleviate some of the separation trauma that new believers must have experienced. You know, the beauty of God's church is that we have a family that we can be encouraged by and loved on and held accountable to say, listen, yeah, the world may not accept us and the message that we're preaching. And you know what? Our families might have distanced themselves from us. I have family members that have done that. They won't ever talk about God or anything. And really, they don't really talk to us about anything at all. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You see, because we have a hope in Christ and fellow believers who are able to encourage us to walk in the faith. Not only did they receive the word in much affliction, they also served in the joy of the Holy Spirit. So in spite of all these afflictions, all these persecutions, the Thessalonians' reception of the gospel was accompanied by Spirit-inspired joy. The presence of the Spirit signified membership in the new people of God, but the Spirit provided gifts with the power to console, instruct, strengthen, and heal the community of faith. You know, when we go forward after our salvation and we begin to serve God through His body, we're able to do that with joy. We're able to do that in the face of persecution or separation or alienation. We're to say, listen, Lord, You've given us a short time here on this earth to make a difference for You. And one, we're going to make a difference by worshiping and serving You and joining with the body of Christ and doing great work in Your name. But you know what? Christ, it won't be long before we're in Your presence. We're in Your presence. And that every day should keep us moving forward in our walk with Christ. The joy that comes in Christ's promise to bring us with Him. What an exciting time. Then He also says, become examples to all in their community. This passage is so rich in what it looks like to be a church that loves God, love others, and reaches the world. Paul frequently used this terminology of being an imitator of Christ. But nowhere else in the scripture does he write to a particular church that their faith was a pattern or a type that inspired the discipleship of others. Listen to this very quickly. All the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, they covered a lot of territory. Macedonia was the Roman province in the northern eastern section of Greece. The Macedonian churches of which we are aware included those in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And Achaia was the Roman province directly south of Macedonia. So in it were churches in the cities of Athens and Corinth. North to the south, the two provinces stretched for several hundred miles and contained all the churches established on the second missionary journey. Now I want you to think about that huge area that this church was having an effect on. And then listen to what Paul writes to this church. He says, we do not need to say anything at all. Underline that in your Bible today. Mark that on your phone. The church was reaching into the community and sharing the gospel in such a way that the greatest missionary of all time looked at that area and said, listen, you're doing what you've been called to do, and I can go focus on somewhere else. Man, could you imagine? Could you imagine if Grace Baptist Church had that testimony? Where Paul could come and say, hey, you are taking care of Rosedale in a way that honors God in such a way that people are just by the droves coming to know Him. Does that excite you this morning? Am I the only one who gets excited about that? To think that that could possibly happen. And I ask you that because here, that's a pretty big statement by Paul, isn't it? Churches today all across this country spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to invite evangelists and special revival speakers to come and help their local body share the gospel. Hey, being an evangelist is a calling, it's a gift. That's great. Bible says there's need for that. But listen, there are churches that rely on the evangelist or the special speaker to come and to push them forward in the gospel. Churches all across this country spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on church staff to make sure the gospel is being shared. But here in this church, in Thessalonica, listen, there was a group of believers who were sharing the gospel with such enthusiasm and such fervor. They weren't perfect, but they were doing what God had called them to do, and they didn't need anyone else to come and help them reach into the community to share and show the love and grace of the Lord. The people in that community knew where they could go in a time of crisis, whether it be physical or spiritual. This church lived out the refresh, the evangelize, the assimilate in the community. And they reached the unsaved with the gospel and discipled them to become disciple makers. Pastor George, are you saying it's possible for a church to be this same kind of example in their community today? I absolutely am. Pastor George, no way. That's crazy. We live in a different time, a different culture. We do. That's correct. But the reason this church became such a great example is the same reason churches today could be the same kind of example. The church there in Thessalonica was the product of the gospel. It was a product of the gospel. It's very simple. In our passage, we see Paul remind the church who they were before knowing the gospel and who they became after receiving the gospel. The church was made of believers who truly repented from their sin. And the scripture tells us in that passage that they were following false gods. They were following idols. And then the Spirit of God got a hold of them, saved them, changed them. And then they were changed in a way that changed their whole community. Yes, they still lived in a world of surrounded by sin, in a world surrounded by unholiness and unrighteousness. But they were a beacon of light in that darkness. You know what? The church, being a product of the gospel, is a church that goes out and is continuing to reach people with Jesus Christ. Folks, we can never become content that we've reached enough or that we've done enough. Not to glorify ourselves. No. There's many churches that are glorifying themselves today by saying, listen, we've done enough. We don't want any more. If you think I'm joking, I'm telling you, that's the heart of many people today. But I'm telling you, there is so much more for the church to be a part of to glorify God. So this morning, we look at this, and we understand that there are many churches that are striving to be this example, like this church. We're one of them. And it's given us an example of reaching into the community. So what does that mean for the church at Grace today? You see, it's great to hear all about this example. But what's that mean for us today? Very quickly, we are very intentional in providing many opportunities for our body to reach into the community. We have opportunities such as this. They're listed on your screen. We do an annual Easter egg hunt. Can I tell y'all? That's a pretty fun event. But it takes work and it takes labor. But we've seen people in our community come and visit Grace Baptist Church and get involved because we simply throw eggs on a lawn and say, let your kids have at it. Mega sports camp, that's coming up here in just about a month. An opportunity to bring kids in who love sports or who are just getting interested in sports and say, hey, let's tell them about Jesus and how he can make them better. Back to school events, weekend of encouragement. You know, we took a time this last fall and we went out into the different neighborhoods of this community within our small groups, and we just loved on people and met people's needs. We've got a cool story we're going to share with you in just a second. I love my church weekend. I love my neighborhood that was put on by CityServe. Building blocks of grade preschool, small groups who are to do and live out intentional missions. Wednesday nights, family night at Grace, Awana Ultra and Community Connect, Youth for Christ, Mission at Kern County, Kern Leadership Alliance, these parachurch organizations that we partner with. These are the time that we can come together and say, listen, we want to reach into the community. And the church is trying to give you every opportunity to do that. My prayer is that when you see this list, man, you are checking things off saying, man, that was a blast. That was awesome. I can't wait till next year. Or, hey, you know what? I'm gonna take the next step and just kind of build upon what we already are doing. Every one of these opportunities intentionally driven with two things in mind. As we said earlier, to show the love of Christ and to share the gospel of Christ. Folks, there is nothing more important we can do for the community of Rosedale and Bakersfield and California and the United States of America and the world than to give people the love of Jesus Christ. And folks, that has got to be our heartbeat, our passion. And then when people receive Christ, listen, we need to be able to say, you know what, we're going to disciple them so they too can be confident in sharing the love of Christ. You know, when the love of Christ is shown, the gospel of Jesus is shared with the community around you, there's a spiritual fruit that's produced. I want us to focus on the screens here in just a second. We're going to share with you a video of just a few examples of how God, now listen, God has produced fruit through this church at Grace as we've reached into the community. Take a look.
I was days, if not hours, from dying in my addiction, dying in my sins, and I was in a real dark place.
At Grace, we believe God has placed us in specific geographical location for a reason. We're called to reach into this Rosedale community with the gospel and love of Christ. As we do so, sometimes we'll see the fruit of our labor right away. And other times, it may take years to see all that the Lord brings about out of our simple obedience.
I was introduced to the church by the church coming to the park where I live. And very interested because they were so friendly.
When my son Zachary Barrett was in middle school, he started going to Campus Life, and through that, Youth for Christ, he met Adam.
Come to church the first Sunday after that, and everybody was cordial, welcomed me, and I had a good feeling.
He started going to Grace Baptist when he started high school, and Adam was there as well, which was just a God thing.
After a little while coming, I decided that I need to belong to this church.
I really didn't think that any type of religion really was for me, but I did see that it was working in my son's life.
My past experience with churches years ago was be happy to see me at church, but I'd see them outside of church, and I was just a stranger to them.
This church has made a big difference in me and my family.
One thing that Grace Baptist makes me feel like is that I'm part of a family.
I have grandkids and a son, and just a lot of people that are starting to come to church because the people of this church are so friendly and outgoing.
I just had a really, really dark, dark life, and I reached out to the Tomlinsons, to Robin and Ed, and they invited me to their home.
Right away, I could just see just the love of Christ in them.
Lenny, he had kind of hung out with me for a week while my husband was still in Ridgecrest, and he was like a bulldog on me, but with love, and he became like a second father to me. He took me to church the first time and the second time, and he actually went and picked my husband up from Ridgecrest.
After Lenny picked me up, the next couple days he kept a close watch over me in a hotel room as I was basically sleeping it off, going through my withdrawals and stuff from the various addictions I was dealing with.
I decided to go to Grace because that's where my son had gone. And I went a couple times and I just felt the love of Christ there, and I gave my life back to Christ.
Eventually I ended up going with my wife to Grace Baptist. I was astonished on how just the genuineness in everybody's eyes.
I was really surprised because during meet and greet, the young people come up to you. Hi, how are you? Good morning. It's not something that you see in a lot of places.
From the first time, we just felt at home. Everybody welcomed us. Just since then, like, Christ has just been working on us, changing our hearts, changing our values, or the way we think. We just want to be there, like, as much as possible.
And there's a new smile on my face, a spark in my life, and joy in my shoes since I joined the church here. Grace Baptist has been a big blessing.
We can't get over the just drastic change, a complete 180. Our life is gone. And that was just because we completely surrendered to the will of God. We laid down everything and we just said, yes, Lord. Grace Baptist fits in the story of our salvation. I myself have just never seen the love in Christ, the love of Christ in so many people in one place at one time before. And it's beautiful to me.
The joy that we have, that I have today, is like no other joy that I've ever had. I've always been trying to fill a void, been trying to find that happiness and peace, and I finally found that happiness in my life today that I've been looking for my whole life. I never knew how good life can be and how good God is, and I'm just so grateful for His mercy and His grace.
My oldest son and his wife were here, and right after church was over, he said, Mom, I'm so glad you joined this church. You have a new smile, and you're full of vim and life.
I believe we have something to offer to people that haven't necessarily been raised in the church, have struggled with addictions, that think that they're so broken, or they've just sinned so far that there's no going back. We're here as living testimonies of the love, of the grace, of God's mercy through Christ Jesus, that there's no sin that you've done that's so bad that you can't just surrender it all. No addiction is so bad that you can never just lay it down and God won't take care of you from there, because we are living testimonies of His greatness, that He can dramatically change lives and put you on a whole better track that is beyond anything you can ever imagine. And a joy that comes with just the peace of knowing that you have salvation, that your Father above loves you. And we just can't get enough. Can't get enough of it. We've been pulled out of darkness and into His marvelous light.
At Grace, we're convinced that if we prayerfully and regularly reach into our community with the love and gospel of Jesus Christ, we will see more Elvira's and more Jason and Nadine's. Exciting things are happening, and you have a role. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what that role is.
Folks, we don't play a video like that to say, oh man, we're a perfect church, because we're far from it. But we play a video like that so you, as a church body, can know the impact that you're having for serving Christ and reaching into the community. And those stories, they should do something this morning as we close. Challenge each of us to partner together in reaching the community. I kind of asked this earlier, but what if Franklin Graham and his organization, who were coming here at the end of this month, what if they'd been able to look at Bakersfield and say, you know what, the church is doing so much that we really don't need to focus on that area. What if they would have been able to say, oh, we need to say nothing more? At Grace Baptist Church, the great thing is we have begun the responsibility to reach the world, but we've been directly given the responsibility to reach this Rosedale area. So folks, if we can partner together in sharing Jesus Christ, as Michael said on the video, more Elvira's, more Jason and Nadine's. But hey, let's make it personal. More you's, more me's being saved by the power of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, man, I am a sinner. Man, I thought there was nothing I could do to have Jesus love me. And I want to tell you, there is nothing you can do. Jesus loves you in spite of that sin, just like He loved me in spite of mine. And He came to give His life for you, to give His life for you and for me. He died on a cross, He was buried in a tomb, and He rose 3 days later. And His blood, as we sang earlier, is the power to redeem and to forgive no matter what has taken place in your life. Will you give your life to Christ today? And if you've already done that, will you commit to partner to reaching into this community so that more stories for Jesus Christ can be shared?